This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 99.9 KISW Metal Shop right now. I'm talking with a guy named Xavier, and he's in a band called Upon Stone, but right now he's in Colombia. He's with Zabalba right now, who's actually celebrating 10 years, I think, of Tierra Libertad, which is awesome. What's it like down in Colombia right now, man?
It's awesome, man. The first show of the tour is tomorrow. But yeah, it's very cool. We got to explore the city a little bit, had some incredible food. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to the rest of the tour.
Awesome. So are you like, I know Zabalba does like, you know, kind of rotating guitar players for touring. Are you, have you been a pretty consistent touring member of the band for a while now?
For about like year and a half, maybe. Yeah. I've been playing bass for them.
Oh, cool. Nice, man. So
yeah, it's awesome. It's been a lot of fun.
Congratulations on the release of Upon Stone's Dead Mother Moon. It's out now on Century Media.
The response has been insane. Like, honestly, like beyond what we expected at all. I'm super excited about it. I'm really grateful everyone likes the record as much as we do, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, what came first for you, man? Like, you know, Zabalba's kind of a hardcore band, comes from hardcore. Upon Stone is mellow death. What came first for you? Like punk, hardcore, metal? Like what came first into your life, man?
So, metal was definitely first. And then there was actually hardcore bands that I was listening to when I was a kid that I didn't even realize were hardcore bands. Like, I liked punk too, but you know, there was bands like Cro-Mags, Suicidal Tendencies, Gorilla Biscuits, like bands like that, that I thought were just punk bands or like crossover bands. I didn't even realize were hardcore bands, you know?
Yeah.
And then, later on I got into Death Before Dishonor.
Okay.
Hatebreed and like bands like that, you know, Comeback Kids, Wake the Dead album. And that's when I was kind of like, oh, that's what this is. And then I revisited like Cro-Mags and stuff. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. But yeah, metal was definitely like the first one that I was like, I know what this is. And I'm like obsessed with it right now, you know?
So how did you get into it? Was it the radio? Was it Headbangers Ball? Was it, you know, friends or parents or anything?
So it was my cousin gave me Black Album and nice. Dark Side of the Moon for my birthday one time. And I liked both of those. Definitely enjoyed listening to a bunch of like, but it fully clicked with when I started going to middle school. I met the drummer of Upon Stone, and you know, like new metal was still like pretty big at the time and stuff like that. So I was into some of that stuff as well. But he gave me Are You Dead Yet and Tokyo Warhearts by Children of Bodom.
Okay.
And I was like, what is this? You know, I was like obsessed with it. And then from there it was just like, all I could think about is metal, you know?
What were your favorites? I mean, other than Children of Bodom, I can obviously tell you must've been into like In Flames, Dark Tranquility, stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. In Flames, Dissection was another one.
Awesome.
Those are, that's the big three for sure for Upon Stone. That's like the main three we wanted to sound like.
And were you, you know, going to shows at a pretty young age? Were you going out to metal shows? Were your parents allowing that?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I was, me and Wyatt would just get dropped off and go to like the Wiltern and stuff. Like one of my earliest shows, I think, was I went to Sounds of the Underground 2006.
Okay.
And that was incredible. I still like kind of remember that show pretty vividly, like seeing Black Dahlia, In Flames, that's like one of the only times I've seen In Flames ever. They just put out Come Clarity, I think. Nice. Cannibal Corpse, Behemoth, Terror.
I remember that tour, and I know a guy that you know, Mexi Mike. He got kicked out of that show in Seattle at like noon during Madball. So it was like,
oh my God,
Madball.
I think he might have told me about that.
He's like, yeah. I was like, how's it going? He's like, I already got kicked out.
That's crazy.
So, you know, that time period, around that time period was kind of the rise of a few years after that was the rise of like deathcore, which kind of was a mix between hardcore, death metal and stuff like that. Did you ever go through a deathcore phase or were you strictly like mellow death?
Oh yeah. No, it was huge where I was from. So I definitely went through the phase of that. All like the early MySpace bands, like the first Whitechapel Records, Partisan Turbine, a lot of stuff like that.
Isn't it kind of wild that there's like a MySpace deathcore revival now with like that band Psycho Frame and.
Oh dude, it's insane. I book shows, me and Nate, from Zabalba, we both do SOS booking in LA and, yeah, I'd booked that band Peeling Flesh, and
oh yeah, they're great.
I'd heard a little bit on Spotify. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I watched them live, and I was like, no way! Like this is just like that whole era just revived. It was so cool. And I talked to them afterwards, and I was like, let me see how deep these guys get with like MySpace deathcore and stuff, and see if that's like what they're kind of like going for. And I was like, yo, do you guys listen to like We Are the End or Partisan Turbine or any of that stuff? And they're like, yeah. Oh, you know your stuff. Like, that's like, they're like, we consider ourselves like MySpace Slam. I was like, oh, that's so cool.
You're like, how deep do you go with Misericordium? You know?
Oh, yeah. Misericordium from Vegas. Yeah, that band is awesome.
Or, you know, I could tell that they were into that stuff because on one of their songs, they have John Huber, the original singer of I Declare War, on one of their songs. I was like, okay, I know what they're going for, dude.
Yeah, definitely. That band was hard for sure. Great band.
Before the pandemic, I saw Vamakara play one of the final shows. I think COVID was probably in the air, dude. It was at Vera Project. I remember I got a Vamakara crew neck, like the collegiate font one. And everyone was like, man, I don't know. This is kind of weird. And then, you know, a couple weeks later, everything shut down. So you're busy with, you know, that you're doing Zabalba. How did you find time to start up Upon Stone? Was it a pandemic project?
It actually was. Yeah. So, Vamakara had just finished, I think, that tour you're talking about. That was the Sanction tour, right?
Yeah. Sanction and CU Space Cowboy, I think.
Yeah. So, we had just, got off that tour and we didn't even know what we're doing and stuff, you know, Vamakara had some like weird lineup issues too. So we were kind of like, yo, are we a band? Are we breaking up? Like, what are we doing now? We didn't know what we're doing still. So, and then, me and Wyatt, the drummer of Upon Stone, just for like since we were like in middle school, had been talking about doing a mellow death band. And like, we've attempted it multiple times. And, Ronnie and Wyatt actually like had a mellow death band before this band that like did pretty well. And, you know, like we always thought the idea was sick, but like never came back to it because we all just got busy with other bands. You know, I started a bunch of hardcore bands and stuff, and they were just, you know, they were still doing like the metal thing and stuff, and it was sick. But then, at the end of 2020, like beginning of 2021, you know, everyone was at like peak creativity, you know, like all I had to do was just all I could do was just chill at home and riff, you know? So, eventually we hung out and I was like, we should just try to do this mellow death thing again. We like agreed on it and stuff. And then, I wrote the first and last song on the Wild Sorrows EP and sent it to him. And he was like, okay, we're doing it. Yeah. This is sick. And then he came through and brought, Sky Sword Spectre from that record and the interlude. And I was like, this is like a record right here. This is awesome. So we got Ronnie on board and he brought all the solos in and just, it went very like smooth from there. It was cool.
Nice, man. So, I haven't seen you guys live. My friend went and saw you guys, with like Machine Head at the Metal Injection Festival, said you guys were awesome, but if,
oh, sick. Yeah. That show was really cool.
Correct me if I'm wrong. You play guitar and sing, right?
I do bass and sing.
Okay. Is this the first band that you've done, you know, instrument and sing for?
Yes. I didn't think I'd be able to pull it off. I just really wanted to pull off the carcass thing.
Yeah.
So I just tried super hard to do it, and it worked out. It was cool.
Did it take quite a bit of practice to kind of like be able to do that?
Not as much as just doing vocals in general. You know?
Okay.
Like I would like mess around and like try to start bands with friends when I was a kid and like try to do vocals and stuff like that. And, you know, but, this was like the first one I was like, okay, I'm going to like actually just go for this. And, I just had to learn all the techniques and stuff that people were talking about, you know, like using the air from your stomach or whatever, you know, like all that stuff. I had to learn all that. So, the adding bass to it was kind of like, there's a second where you kind of get like kind of mixed up and it's like, oh, like I have to focus on this part more than I'm focusing on this part, you know? But, it was tough, but yeah, I think just doing vocals in general was kind of more of like a little more difficult, but I'm having a good time doing it, man. It's awesome.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Who are some of your like inspirations as far as bass playing goes? Because, you know, a lot of people say like, oh yeah, bass, you know, it's just, it's like the, you know, anyone can learn a bass, you know, it's like that. But like, honestly,
no, definitely not.
There are, yeah, I mean, it could be a minimal influence in the band if you want it to be, but there's so many good bassists that really rise above and like make it. Obviously Lemmy, you know, there's Robert Trujillo. Who are some of your favorites?
Yeah, I mean, I think bass is so important, man. Like, honestly, that's like, I consider myself a bassist more than I consider myself a guitarist. And I play guitar in more bands than I play bass in, you know?
Oh, so, wow.
But Alex Webster from Cannibal Corpse.
Oh, yeah.
That's a prime example of, like, the bass is so important, you know? Steve Harris, Iron Maiden.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, yeah, Rob Trujillo, too. I'm a huge Suicidal Tendencies fan. That's, like, one of my top five favorite bands. So he was just in like their best era, you know?
Totally, man. That's awesome. So what was bass the first thing you learned then?
Guitar. I picked up guitar first, but I was like, I wanted to learn it because I wanted to like be in punk bands with my friends and stuff, but sure. I was really bad at it. So then, I like met up with some friends to play the music and stuff. And, I picked up bass just for that practice. And I felt like I was good at it. And they're like, oh, you sound great on bass. Like, it sounds way better than you playing guitar. And then,
you're like, thanks.
I was kind of like, okay. So I had more fun doing it than like, I got a bass. And, that's when I was like super, super like obsessed with metal and stuff too. So I was like playing bass nonstop and like, I would like bring CDs back home and like me and my friends like burn CDs and trade them and stuff at school. And, I would just bring them back and like, I would just be trying to like learn Slayer songs, like on bass, you know, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Metallica songs and stuff too. I like learned the For Whom the Bell Tolls intro. And I thought it was awesome. I was like 12 or something.
Nice. Okay, let's play a little This or That. So we're going to go Mellow Death style, just with a few off the top of my head. So tell me what you like better.
All right, let's do it.
Soil Work or In Flames?
In Flames.
Okay, all right. Dark Tranquility or Scar Symmetry?
Dark Tranquility.
Dark Tranquility, okay. And Dissection or Children of Bodom?
Oh, that one's not fair.
I knew it.
Oh, man. You're saving that one. That was crazy. Okay. I think I'm going to have to go with Bodom because that was like the gateway to so many things for me. And sure. I probably wouldn't know about Dissection if I didn't know about Bodom.
Yeah, man. Absolutely, dude. RIP Alexi Laiho. That band was absolutely, seriously. I mean, the fact that they could, and the keyboard too, you know, so just so good.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you ever get down on some power metal, or is that just a little too cheesy for you?
Absolutely. Okay. Actually, a lot of people were saying like the album cover looks way more power metal than it does like Mellow Death or anything like this. And that was like semi-intentional for sure.
Yeah.
This album, Ronnie actually like brought in like a lot more like Manowar, Blind Guardian,
yeah,
all that sort of stuff, you know? But yeah, no, we're big power metal fans for sure. Like, Andreas Marshall doing the album cover, you know, he did all the Hammerfall stuff, which is like definitely very similar to like our album art, you know?
Absolutely. Was that a connection you made through Century Media? Was getting his, to sign off and do the art for you?
Actually, no, I had asked about him and, they were like, oh, I think he only kind of like, he doesn't do that much art anymore. Like he only really does legacy bands and this. And I was like, oh, okay. I went on his website and found his email address and, I hit the label back up and I was like, yo, I got his email. Like, should I just hit him up anyways and see what he says? And they're like, yeah, go for it. And, I sent him an email with the Wild Sorrows EP in it. And like, was just like, yo, I'm a big fan of all your art. Like my band is heavily influenced by like so many records you've done,
yeah,
you know, like, want to see if you'd be interested in doing this, like check us out. And, I think like 5 days or something went by and I was like, it's probably like an old email address or something. And then he replied and he was like, hey man, like I listen to your record. This is awesome. Like it kind of takes me back. And like, I like the energy it's got and stuff. And he was like, yeah, I'm super into doing it. Like, let me know what you're thinking.
Oh, and, that's so sick.
Yeah, we couldn't believe it. We're like, yeah, we're like, that's insane.
Oh man. That had to be a really cool moment. Just seeing that email, just like almost probably not even wanting to open it just to be in fear of being disappointed. Like,
oh dude. Yeah. No, totally one of those moments. Yeah. I could not believe it.
Oh man. That's so cool. So, tell me a little bit about linking up with Century Media, because if we're talking about Mellow Death, man, that's like them and Nuclear Blast and Earache, you know, these are like the big ones that really brought Mellow Death to America. What was it?
Yeah, totally.
What got you signed up with Century Media, man? When did that relationship start?
So we I'm trying to think of where actually. Yeah, it was I definitely met Mike Gitter at one of the SOS booking shows we do. And
he's at everything.
He caught our he lives and breathes music, man. I respect it so much. But yeah, he pulled up to our first show. Our first show was with Cruelty and Apparition in LA.
Oh, that's a good gig.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a weekend run. So we did like three shows with them and each show was so sick. But, he pulled up to that and then I would just see him around at shows after that. We kind of just became friends and stuff. And then, we did the standalone single for To Seek and Call the Fall of Lions, To Seek and Follow the Call of Lions. And Taylor sent it to him and then he hit me up and he was like, yo, Taylor sent me this. This is awesome. Like, what are your guys' plans? You know? And it was just kind of like, he just kind of wanted to know about the band and stuff.
Yeah.
And, we didn't really talk about like signing or nothing like that. Time went on for a while and then, we just were like, yo, let's just like record the album ourselves, you know? So we did it, and then I was talking to him at a show again and he was like, oh, you guys did a record. They like sent it to me. I want to hear that. I was like, all right, cool. Sent it to him. And then he hits me back and he was like, yo, we should talk. This is really, really good.
That's cool.
I was stoked, you know, like, yeah, I didn't even think Century was like an option. So the fact that it's like, you know, so many bands were influenced like were on that label. And it's like, there hasn't really been a band to do like 90s influence Mellow Death in so long. Kind of feels like bringing it back home, you know?
Oh, absolutely, man. Have you met any of the, you know, guys over in the Europe side of Century Media yet?
Yeah, yeah. Like, like Philip, Alvaro, all those guys, they're all super cool. They've been super helpful. And they were like stoked too, hearing it. They're like, oh yeah, this takes me back to like Just Erase era. I was like, oh, that's so cool.
Oh, that's awesome. So, on one of the singles for the record, you had Brian from Shadows Fall on the record. For melodic metal, and like, I mean, metalcore kind of melodic death metal kind of stuff. Art of Balance was a huge one for me around the same time as, Killswitch Engage, the, Alive or Just Breathing. Those two records for me were just like game changers. What was it like working with Brian and how did that come about?
So yeah, we're all pretty big Shadows Fall fans, you know, like The second Sounds of the Underground I went to was Shadows Fall played.
And nice.
I vividly remember that still being like the biggest pit I've ever seen. That was like really at like the peak of their hype, you know? So it was just, it felt like the whole world was watching them, you know?
Yeah.
So, we just, been fans for a long time. And, I love when bands have like a guest spot on a record, you know, or like a couple guest spots. Like it's always the coolest thing ever, you know?
Yeah.
That was like an idea we just kind of brought up, like a what if sort of thing. We're like, yo, that'd be cool if like Brian Fair did a part on here. That'd be insane, you know? And that was an idea since the first EP. And then when we were recording with Taylor, one of us said that in the studio, like just like, oh, we had this idea or whatever, like, or he like overheard it or something, and he was like, I know that guy. We're like, oh, wait, really? And he was like, yeah, let me hit him up real quick. And we thought he would hit him up and like it wouldn't happen or something. But he responded. He was like, yo, I'd love to. This is sick. It like reminds me of like, you know, In Flames' Darkest Hour and stuff. And I was like, oh, this is crazy. So he knocked it out like right after that. It was very cool.
That is awesome. I mean, and speaking of Darkest Hour, they're back now. They have a new album coming out. That'd be a perfect tour, right?
Yeah,
Upon
yeah.
Stone, Darkest Hour. Let's go.
I would love that. That's one of my favorite bands of all time for sure.
That's awesome, man. So, you know, people say the big four of American thrash, right? So you got the Metallica, Anthrax, Slayer, Megadeth. What's your big four? And it doesn't have to be American, obviously. What's your big four of mellow death?
I think it would be, not counting Dissection, because there's just so much debate on whether they're more of a black metal band than they are a mellow death band. But
okay.
I mean, big four for mellow death, I would say is At the Gates, In Flames, Dark Tranquility, and then either there's debate on this one too. I said the last slot either goes to Carcass or Amon Amarth.
Yes, that's
Carcass. There's people that wouldn't call them melodic death metal, or like not associate them with like, I guess like the Gothenburg stuff, you know? So that's a tough one, but one of those two bands would definitely get one of the spots on the big four.
Heartwork is, I mean, that's just straight up mellow death. How could you not, you know? But Amon Amarth
too. There's people that debate that one a bunch, which is weird.
Amon Amarth, I mean, they're humongous at this point, you know, like they are. Didn't they play like the,
they might be one of them.
They played like the Kia Forum down there.
Yeah. They're doing like another huge stadium out here for that tour too. I can't miss that one. That show's going to be so sick.
Oh man. That's awesome. So do you have any, you know, can you kind of give us a hint of like what 2024 is going to look like? Are you guys going to be going out and doing any of the like Euro festivals or anything like that?
Not this year. I wish, but,
okay.
Well, I mean, unless something changes, but I know most of them are announced right now, but, right now, we're just booked tours pretty much throughout fall. So we'll be announcing some more stuff soon.
With all of the, you know, obviously you're in Colombia with Upon Stone, with Vamakara. Do you have time to like have a day job, or is music your full-time thing these days?
Music, booking shows, and then I'll do like little side jobs, like production stuff, you know,
okay.
Like, some venue stuff like that. But yeah, mainly just booking shows and band stuff.
That's awesome, man. How did you get linked up with Nate, to start, you know, booking shows with SOS? Because, you know, he's been doing it for forever, and he must've had a lot of trust in you to like, you know, give you some of the reins there.
Yeah, totally, man. I'm super grateful for that too. It's awesome. I've been going to SOS shows like, you know, since like by like later teen years and stuff. And I like saw Zabalba so many times like as a teenager as well. So it's kind of crazy playing in Zabalba now. But I was booking a couple shows like around like 2015, 2016.
Uh-huh.
And then around like, yeah, it was mainly just like, it'd be like local shows, you know, like Vamakara plus whoever else, like some of the early Dead Heat shows and stuff like that. Then around like 2018, Nate was super busy with his job.
Oh yeah.
You know, he's always on the road and stuff. So he eventually like started kind of like coming to some shows that I was doing. And the second he pulled up, I'm like, yeah, yeah, you're good. Just go in, you know, like, so because I went to so many of his shows. I'm like, yeah, dude, but,
you're good. Yeah. OG, but, you're good.
yeah, exactly that. So, yeah, eventually he hit me up and he was like, yo, I'm really busy right now. Like, I still want this to go on, but like, I can't do this all myself right now. Like, would you be interested in booking with SOS? And I was just putting out flyers like on Instagram, like under like no promotion company or anything like that. Yeah. So I was like, yes, absolutely. That sounds dope. And, it's worked out from there. Like really, like just all the shows that have come through recently, especially like post quarantine have been insane. You know,
you got blessed, dude. You got a part of the team, man. You're a made man.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Southern California.
I'm super stoked about it.
That's awesome, man. Well, you know, I'm not going to take up your whole day. I mean, you're in Colombia. You got to go out there and live awesome vacation. You're and it's not a vacation. You're touring with Zabalba. So congratulations on the new record, man. Will you be up
Thank
here?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Metal Shop is the show. And, you know, when you come up here, I'd love to chat with you in person. Any final words for the Northwest and Seattle audience?
Thanks for checking out the record. I appreciate it a lot. Can't wait for Upon Stone to come back out there. So hopefully soon.
Xavier from Upon Stone, thanks for taking the time, man.
Yo, thank you so much, man. Nice talking to you.
You too, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.